You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I don't see the Nets. Without Ben Simmons healthy, I don't see the Nets winning a playoff series.
With a full-time Kyrie and Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
You know this squad very well. You know this area very well. I won't put you on blast. You don't have them winning a playoff series?
Yes. Kevin Durant is an all-world player. Kyrie Irving is an all-world player. Those guys can get buckets.
Yeah.
But there are real question marks about their defense.
Let's give it up. JJ called it. The preseason favorite to win the title. The Brooklyn Nets got swept on their home floor last night. KD finally looked like himself, putting up 39-7-9, but it wasn't enough, and Ben Simmons was not on the bench after his back issues resurfaced, and a lot of scrutiny around first-year head coach Steve Nash. Here's KD on the head man and Hall of Famer.
Steve's been dealt a crazy hand the last 2 years. Like, he's been had to deal with so much stuff as a head coach, first-time coach, and trades, injuries, you know, COVID, just a lot of stuff he had to deal with, and I'm proud of how he just focused and his passion for us. And, we all, continue to keep developing over the summer and see what happens.
Okay, JJ Redick, you were very right. They didn't win a series. Challenge you on that. And there's that. But now let's get to Nash. Does he deserve to lose his job after what just went down?
No, I don't think so. And what Kevin brought up, I think is important because it provides some context about the disappointment surrounding the Brooklyn Nets. If we go back to last year, first of all, Kevin Durant's coming off an Achilles injury. Mm-hmm. They start out the season with depth. Spencer Dinwiddie tears his ACL. Kyrie goes on sabbatical. They bring in James Harden. He hurts his hamstring. Kyrie sprains his ankle. We go to this year. Harden wants out. Kyrie's unavailable. They make the trade. Ben's unavailable. On top of all that, and this is the most important part, it's what I brought up 10 days ago, whenever that was, that clip was, this team is severely lacking in two-way depth, and Ben Simmons could have helped a little bit with that. But when we look at the Boston Celtics, they're a team full of two-way players. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Marcus Smart, Grant Williams. You go down the line, a lot of those guys were drafted by the Celtics. There is homegrown talent. And so the Nets' failure this season, the Lakers' failure this season, there's a little bit of a cautionary tale here on team building. Because if you have a top-heavy roster with two or three guys, it is very difficult to build out a competent, complete roster if you don't draft well. And the Nets, of course, were hurt by the trade they originally made with the Celtics some years ago. But that to me is the bigger story here than Nash, is this roster, as constructed, was not going to win a championship. No matter what Vegas said or no matter what people said about Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, basketball is a team sport. And the more complete team here was clearly the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, fair enough about Boston. But when it comes to Steve Nash, you're wrong. And here's what I would like to preface my comments by highlighting. Years ago, Don Shula was pushed out the door as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. He ultimately retired or whatever. Tom Landry was pushed out when Jerry Jones bought the team and Jimmy Johnson was brought in as the head coach. People are appalled. And you know what my response was at the time? Do we say anything when players are moved? Players get cut. Players don't get resigned. Players get let go all the time. What is it about us as a society that we can't sit up there and look at a coach and just say, you're not the guy for this job? It doesn't mean that you don't deserve to be employed. It doesn't mean that you don't deserve to be a paycheck. It doesn't mean that you should be excoriated or whatever. It just means that for this particular situation, you're not that guy. Just with Frank Vogel just now. We all know, J.J. Redick, it wasn't Frank Vogel's fault. The Lakers assembled the roster that they assembled. They put these guys together. They wouldn't give, according to Frank Vogel and his peeps, the opportunity to really, really coach. Now, the Lakers, to their, in fairness to them, would refute such things. But these are the kind of things that were said. He would have dealt with Russell Westbrook a hell of a lot earlier, blah, blah, blah. Fine. Okay, forget all of that for a second. We go to Steve Nash. I like Steve Nash. And I think that Steve Nash will get better and better and better as a coach if this is something he truly, truly wants to do. But you know what we don't say enough about Steve Nash? He never deserved the job. Only because he never had any coaching experience on any level. At all. Now.
So, hold on.
Because before you asked me about Steve Kerr.
Well, I just want to say one thing. I want to ask you one thing, and then I'll let you go on.
Sure.
I just want to be clear on this point.
Yeah.
Are you saying that a coach, a head coach, should never be hired unless he's had coaching experience prior? Is that what you're saying?
I feel that way about a championship caliber team.
Okay,
yes.
So Steve Kerr won a championship as a first-year head coach.
Yes.
And we go down the line, like Doc Rivers, no experience. Derek
right.
Fisher, no experience. There's a
right.
there's a but, bunch of guys that have been hired.
Right.
Doc Rivers, of course, has had an incredible coaching career.
Okay.
I'm wondering why, though.
Because when I looked at Steve Kerr, my position with Steve Kerr is that Mark Jackson should have deserved, he deserved to keep that job, but that's Warriors management decision. But then beyond that, Steve Kerr was a general manager in Phoenix. Steve Kerr had something to do with building a roster. From an organizational perspective, he had some degree of experience. Steve Nash did not.
And so for me, different things, building a roster out and coaching a basketball
team. I understand, but what I'm saying to you is that I'm looking at the responsibility of leadership more so than anything else. You may not have had it. You may not. And that was my reservation about Steve Nash. But we fast forward because Steve Nash is a good dude. I'm happy for him. On a personal level, I'm happy for him because he's a really good guy. But you get this job through no fault of his own. This is a cesspool. And so when I look at him, here's my point, and I'm glad we're addressing this question. Because to me, it's not that he should be gone. Because that's the impression that I gave yesterday, and I didn't mean to give it. It was either or. He has to go, or Kyrie does. You can't keep this same bunch together and Steve Nash there too. You got to have a coach that's going to bring the hammer down, that's going to coach these brothers, okay? Or you got to have a situation where he's not there and there's a coach that's brought in. Or if Steve Nash is going to be there, you can't have the same dysfunction that's ravaged this franchise. 247 scheduled games. Kyrie and KD and Kevin Durant had available to them. They played 58 games together.
Mm-hmm.
58. And they clearly said, we don't need Kyrie, not they, Kyrie. We don't need a coach. They clearly gave indications. Well, you know something? We are right. We coach ourselves. You can't have that. Mm-hmm. And with a coach, that's a short. And you played for a Doc Rivers. You know about the Larry Browns, the Phil Jacksons, the Pat Rileys, the Greg Popovich, and some of the great coaches. The Jeff Van Gundy's, the others. You know you could never get away with the nonsense. You can't do it. There's going to be structure. There's going to be accountability. And the fact that that is a question, I'm not questioning the X's and O's.
Yeah.
I'm saying the fact that that is a question mark, either one of those players, either a guy like Kyrie got to go or Steve Nash got to go.
So
keep it the same.
All valid points. I have one comment. I disagree with you on the leadership aspect.
Okay.
I played against Steve. He was a little bit prior to my generation, in my era, you know, but I played against him. He was widely regarded as one of the best leaders in the NBA as a player.
That is true.
Okay, widely regarded.
That is true.
And if you talk to D'Antoni, you talk to Kerr, you talk to any of his team, Channing
Frye. They all say that.
Widely regarded as one of the greatest leaders. In terms of accountability, and this is just going back to my experience as a player.
Okay.
Yes, there are coaches who do a good job of holding players accountable. Accountability is an organizational thing. It is not solely reliant upon the head coach. It's reliant upon the front office, ownership. So if people have empowered Kyrie to behave a certain way, that doesn't fall on Steve Nash to hold him accountable. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
And I'll let you talk. So my question to you in all of this, because I think you're making great points. My question to you in all of this is who? Because I brought up the context of his 2 years as a head coach. And my question to you is who over the last 2 years could have done a better job given all of that? Is there a coach? You don't have to even name a name. Is there a coach?
I don't
know. He was dealt a bad hand, Stephen A.
My fairness to you and to Steve Nash is I honestly don't know the answer to that question. Now, let me finish.
Okay.
When you talk about organization, I don't disagree. What I'm trying to say, it has to be the kind of coach that has the kind of personality. Oh, I'm going to run this team the way that I want to run this team, or I'm up out of here. You're not getting away with letting this dude do what he wants to do. I'm talking about a coach with the cachet that enables him not just to hold the players accountable, but to some degree the organization accountable for letting the coach do his job. Mm-hmm. Everybody talked about they were sorry defensively, they were this, they that. I don't even hold those things against Steve Nash. I'm saying that Steve Nash's cachet, or lack thereof, doesn't put him in a position to say to Sean Marks and Joe Tsai and them, excuse me, this is what needs to happen.
So your issue is not that he has no experience as a head coach when you bring up names.
Well, that was Steve only at Kerr, the beginning when Rivers, he got the job.
And Derek Fisher. It's more for this team. With these superstars,
this team,
he doesn't have the experience to handle them and put his foot down like a
more
experienced
coach. They do what they want to do, man. And I'm saying that can't happen if they're going to win.
JJ saying his hands are tied because of the organization.
And you gotta I'm not just saying that. Because I want to say one thing. Steve Nash not having cachet is crazy talk.
You're being literal.
Steve
I don't
Nash
mean it like that.
Not have cachet. Come on, Stephen A.
You're being you literal. Think, I don't mean think, it like that.
You don't think Kyrie, Katie, those guys, they respect Steve Nash. When he first came in, they respect him as a coach. They respect his basketball acumen. Okay? But on the organizational side, I'm not saying it's one or another. The question I brought up at the end is the most important question. At this point?
Listen, Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy, those are two names that pop into my head immediately. Because what I'm saying is, listen, when I think about Mark Jackson, you know what I think about? I think about the Brooklyn roots. I think about the New York roots. I think about the cachet with the local media and everything, because all of that stuff comes with the job. I think about being in a position where, yo, man, you trying to win? This is what we trying to do. And the public is going to trust you where they're not going to co-sign on anything just because a guy's a superstar on the basketball court. You got to actually show up to do the job.
A coach is not responsible for getting a player to come to work.
A coach
is not responsible for getting Kyrie to play. A coach is not responsible for getting Ben Simmons to play. If Steve Nash has a normal season, and they get swept in the first round, yeah, there's an argument
I think that Steve Nash had a normal season, they could get to the conference finals at the least. At the least, if Steve Nash had a normal season. But how are you going to ensure you're going to get that normal season? You got to have the muscle somewhere to get somebody to capitulate to you instead of
all
it being the other way around.
So good. I let it go as long as I could. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Quick takes, vamos, Perk. You've been high on the Grizzlies for most of the season, and now your guys are tied up with the T-Wolves. Game 5 in Memphis tonight. Perk, you nervous?
No, I'm not nervous. Look, you got to go through a little adversity, Marty. The Grizzlies are going to win this series, and Ja Morant is going to play exceptional tonight.
Okay, Stephen A., do you like the Suns' chances to still win the series all knotted up without Devin Booker?
I'm not jumping off the ship. I still think they're going to win in seven, but they got to win tonight because they will not win game six in New Orleans. These brothers are bringing it, and I got a lot of respect for what I've seen from the Pelicans, and props to Willie Green and David Griffin for the job that they're doing, but I'm still not betting against CP3.
Where are you? I am.
No Devin Booker. Brandon Ingram is the best player in this series, and the Pelicans are going to upset the Phoenix Suns.
We'll find out what they are about the world. Listen, props to Kendrick Perkins. He said it from the very, very beginning, so I'm going to give him that props. And I will say this. If Zion Williamson were healthy, they would win this series, no doubt in my mind. But I will tell you, I'm not convinced that they could win in Phoenix. You know, that's just where I'm at with it, and that's why I believe that the Suns will find a way to pull out this series.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Our draft blitz rolls on with the Bucks. The big news here is obviously Tom Brady calling it wraps in his illustrious career and then about a month later saying, never mind. The team also franchise tagged receiver Chris Godwin and reached an agreement on a 3-year deal, while Brady's BFF Rob Gronkowski remains unsigned and unsure if he will retire. Stephen A. Smith, does Brady need Gronk to run it back and get to another Super Bowl?
I personally do, because that's a reliable weapon that he can go through in between the seams, in between the numbers, rather. And I think that's incredibly important. When you're at Brady's age and never considered nearly the most athletic dude at the quarterback position, we know for the most part he's a pocket passer that obviously has an incredible cerebral mind. This is somebody that's special in that regard. That's his most reliable and trusted target. That's what makes him feel comfortable. And I think that matters at this stage and point in Tom Brady's career.
I completely agree with you. The experience, that's his safety net. All right, we'll keep it rolling back to the NBA. Ben Simmons suffering from renewed back soreness. He wasn't on the bench last night as the Celtics completed the sweep of his Nets. Our Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that Simmons and his agent Rich Paul sat down with Nets brass and discussed the physical and mental hurdles remaining in his pursuit of return to play, with mental health playing a strong factor in that. Simmons reiterated he did want to play for the Nets, and the team made it clear they want to give him every resource needed to do that. Yesterday, Stephen A., you were very strong on Ben Simmons. Let's flash back.
Nobody is worse than Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons might also be the weakest, most pathetic excuse for a professional athlete we have ever seen in not just American history, but the history of sports. I can't think of a professional athlete that has come across more pathetic than this man.
Okay, your strong stance on Simmons got an emotional response from your friend, Jamie Foxx, who posted a now-deleted video saying that it's completely unfair. Ben Simmons has a family. This man has people that love him, and this man just plays basketball. But to be dragged through the mud like that, this is unfair. And why is it, Stephen A., you only go at basketball players? You are completely mute when it comes to the Tom Brady's and the Aaron Rodgers of the world. You get where I'm going. Stop it, bro. It's out of bounds. Mm. Stephen A.,
yeah.
The floor is yours, sir.
You know something? First of all, I'm going to have fun with this segment because Jamie Foxx is a friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's somebody that I have profound respect and admiration for. I think he's maybe the greatest talent in the history of Hollywood when you consider his versatility and his range. He and I speak quite often about sports, and I don't quote him, and I wouldn't be talking about him now if he didn't give me permission to do so. So I want everybody to know he and I were on the phone last night because he called me to talk to me about what he said and stuff like that. So we spoke, You know, that's my brother. I love him dearly and the whole bit. But damn it, just like I tell Jamie Foxx on the phone he's wrong, or I tell him to his face that he's wrong, I'm going to tell him on national television he's wrong. That's just the way it goes. All right, that's what we do. And I would caution everybody to understand Jamie Foxx has no credibility when it comes to sports. You do know why, right?
I know. He's a Cowboys fan.
Because he's a Cowboys fan. He has no credibility. No, I just want everybody to know that when it comes to sports, the fact that Jamie Foxx is a Cowboy fan, all Cowboy fans, as far as I'm concerned, have no credibility. Zero. Okay, zero. But because he's my boy and I love him to death, I'm going to address what he had to say. Jamie Foxx knows better. He's just highly protective of the black athlete, as he should be, because they deserve our protection, to be quite honest with you, in a lot of situations. That's what this is about. Jamie Foxx knows good and damn well. Ain't got nothing to do with brotherhood to me. I protect brothers all the damn time. Trust you me. It's what I don't say that proves my protection. White folks that I don't, I ain't never criticized Tom Brady. I ain't never criticized Aaron Rodgers. Didn't I just finish talking about Steve Kerr? How about Steve Nash? How about Steve Kerr? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. When Tim Tebow was complete 46% of his passes, he works at this network. I ain't go off about him. I mean, there's countless white athletes that I call out when necessary. Here's the problem where it gets a bit serious, and this is not about Jamie. Jamie and I just disagree with this point. That's my brother. But it's a big issue that I think needs to be addressed. Because this problem exists within the black community, so I can't talk about. All I'm talking about is black athletes. First of all, that's false. Secondly, I'm only supposed to be complimentary. I'm calling out a Kyrie and a Ben Simmons because of their impact and effect on the black athlete. When you go to the collective bargaining table and they use them as an examples to try to minimize their contribution to players, that's about those players. That's not just about them. That's about the black athlete. If I sit up there and I take a position on Colin Kaepernick because I'm talking about how you didn't necessarily strategize appropriately, I'm saying that I wish you had. I wish that you had embraced the support that everybody threw out there on your behalf when you were being blackballed unfairly by the National Football League, which I've articulated on many, many occasions. But we are talking sports, and your performance on the court or the field of play, that's devoid of race. You do what you do. If you don't perform and you don't get it done, you don't get it done. If you shoot 2 for 20 and you look like straight garbage, I'm supposed to look at your ethnicity and say, well, I'm not going to say anything? No. No. You're supposed to call it. When you sit up there, when you ain't getting the job done, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, when it comes to the personal, that's different. Because there's a lot of things that go on in our lives on a personal level, in our lives from a community perspective, that ain't for public consumption. That's different. But what you do on the court or what you do directly to impact the play on the court matters. Kyrie Irving chose to take his individual position and it cost the Nets this season. They are home right now. It ain't even May. I'm going to point that out. Ben Simmons, you quit on LSU because people said when you was on the court, your effort was lackadaisical and you got blown out in the NCAA. So we get all of that. You go to Philadelphia and you don't want to show up. It was mental health issues. And then you get to Brooklyn, you smile and suddenly it's not your mental health at all. It's your back. And then when they sit up there and say, well, you're going to be available for Game 4 on Friday. And I'm saying Game 3 was Saturday. Why would you be available Monday, but you can't be available Saturday? It makes no sense. And I called that out. And I said, he ain't going to play Monday. Watch. And sure enough, he proved it. And then his agent and his family and himself going to show up in Brooklyn. And what is their explanation? It's mental health again. I thought it was his back. See, it's all over the place. What I'm saying is, when you point those things out, and you talk about how egregious mm-hmm. or pathetic it is. That's it. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing where I'm going to laugh at Jamie Foxx about that. I'm going to laugh at Jamie Foxx about this. My brother Jamie Foxx, did you talk to our boy Charlie Mack about Ben Simmons? Did you talk about that? Because Jamie loves himself some Charlie Mack now. We all love Charlie Mack. Ask Charlie Mack about Ben Simmons. Ask Philadelphia about Ben Simmons. Okay?
Yeah.
They'll tell you about, did you see that? Did you see that movie Law Abiding Citizen? Did you see that phenomenal job that Jamie Foxx did in Law Abiding Citizen with Gerard Butler? Well, guess what? Guess where that movie was? Philadelphia. He's been there before. Ask them. Ask them how they feel about Ben Simmons. I'm not exaggerating here. This is First Take, baby. I ain't talking to Jamie Foxx right now.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the public. This is First Take, y'all. Personal stuff, none of my business. What you do with your personal life, you ain't going to hear me talk about nobody's personal life. See no evil, hear no evil. Ain't no, stay out of the police box. I ain't got nothing to say. But what you do on the court or the field to play, I don't give a damn if you green. Care what color you are. Your performance is going to be chronicled. And for those that get upset and may not want to talk to me, let me say this. I got friends. I got loved ones. I love most athletes, and they know, the cats that truly, truly know me know how I will look out. But at the end of the day, I don't get paid to talk to you. I get paid to talk about what you do. And that's exactly what the hell I'm going to do. And even the phenomenal, incomparable, great Jamie Foxx, who is my brother, love this man. Anybody. I listen to him all the time. I'm going to say what I need to say. Yeah. I ain't backtracking one syllable with what the hell I had to say about Ben Simmons. As a matter of fact, Molly, my last comment, I think I have been too kind.
Okay. Let me.
And I'll leave it at that.
Let me just say this before we go to break. Yeah. I will say you are unbiased in who you talk about subject. Yeah. Race isn't a factor. And I will also say this, because I have been a part of meetings where other people dodge topics and you do not. Yeah. So you tackle the uncomfortable conversations that some people choose not to. So I applaud you for that. Kyrie, 100% agree with you. Tom Brady, his example he gave, there was nothing to talk about with Tom Brady. I guess he retired and unretired quickly. Aaron Rodgers, you were actually very critical of this past year based on some of his decision making. Ben Simmons, I'm just going to say, I do side with Jamie. I thought you were a little harsh on Ben Simmons. And again, it's because it's a lot of gray area with the mental health factor and the back issue. Yeah. I mean, most people side with you on that subject. But yesterday on the show, you know, I had pause with you guys, Jay Williams, Tim Legler, all of them, in defense of Ben Simmons. But as far as race and picking and choosing, that's untrue. I've sat up here with you for 6 years.
Jamie don't really mean that. That's my man. Jamie don't really mean it. He's just getting on me. And that's okay. I can take it because he's Jamie. That's my brother. And if he talks, I'm going to listen. Like my man Snoop Dogg, he talks, I'm going to listen. You talk about cats that can get me to pause and say, let me think about this long and hard.
Yeah.
The brothers like that, Fat Joe, the Hulk, I mean, please. I mean, when they talk to me, I'm going to pause and listen because I got love and profound respect. My man Charlie Mack and so many others. We all know what time it is, but in the end, what it comes down to is, yo, if you ain't getting it done, you ain't getting it done. I'm going to say so.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Got some more quick takes. Stephen A., a happy subject, your favorite, a cowboy. Well, not really happy. I need you to look at this. Micah Parsons dropping the puck at the Hershey Bears game. He dropped it a little early. The Bears would go on to lose 5-3. Are you surprised Micah's Pennsylvania team got the loss?
No, I'm not. But I will say I will shock y'all here.
It's an opportunity for me to ridicule the Dallas Cowboys. I will not do it because I love that brother.
Okay.
I truly do. I love me some Micah Parsons. So it's cool. You know, you made a mistake. It's all right. But you know what? I'm applauding the fact that hockey actually invited a black dude, because you know, when it comes to, it's not hockey sport. I'm gonna get me wrong. I'm just saying that black folks, the most we know about hockey is that the puck is black. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm just joking about it. But Gary Bettman's got me interested.
Damian Woody just called me. He said he begs to differ.
Gary and Damian Woody. I told Gary Bettman, let's do the hockey. Let's do the hockey. I love me some Gary Bettman and some hockey. Right, Stephen, they're gonna do that hockey.
Let's be honest. You and I wouldn't have known what to do either. Let's send it to Philly, where the Raptors won't go down that easily. Toronto has now dropped Philly in back-to-back games to crawl back into the series, making it 3-2. Embiid has played but has been affected by that ligament tear in his thumb, while James Harden only able to put up 15 points in 40 minutes played. No team has ever blown a 3-0 advantage and lost the series, but Doc Rivers might be feeling some heat, being the only coach in NBA history to blow 3-1 series leads. We welcome back Kendrick Hawkins. Stephen A., how much pressure is on Doc to win this series?
Immense. I believe if Doc Rivers doesn't win this series, he'll be fired. And I don't think he deserves it. It would tick me off about it, to be quite honest with you. But I don't. I've been in Philadelphia, and I've covered the NBA long enough to know that where there's smoke, there's fire. If you see these stories percolating, there is a reason for them. And the fact that you hear about D'Antoni, who's always behind the scenes lurking to get another job. And I'm not knocking him from that. It's not a criticism. The man wants to coach. He loves to coach. And if he has an opportunity to be employed, that ain't his fault. But he's always lurking because he's good enough to constantly be in the mix for coaching opportunities that may present themselves. He's good enough to justify that when he comes into your stable, he can win 50 or 60 games for you and make a run in the playoffs. He's good enough to pull that off. Offensively, he's brilliant. So because of that, the fact that he's always lurking, and both Daryl Morey and James Harden are in Philly, and they feel like they had unfinished business in Houston, I think the combination of all those things has Doc Rivers in a world of trouble. He's got to win this series, Perk. It's that simple.
Well, I agree. The Philadelphia 76ers overall has to win this series, and I think they will. I had them beating the Raptors in six. But here's the thing. This is not James Harden's team anymore. This is Joel Embiid team.
Right.
Okay, so at the end of the day, you got to make sure that Joel Embiid is happy. Nobody gives a damn about James Harden being happy and who he wants to be the coach. It's about who Joel Embiid wants to be the coach, not James Harden. So Daryl Morey is actually walking a fine line and straddling the fence that he might not be wanting to straddle. Because if you're picking and choosing whether who you want to please out of James Harden and Joel Embiid, right now you better be trying to please Joel Embiid. And if Joel Embiid make a stance, and if, just say hypothetically that they lose this series, and Joel Embiid says, I want Doc Rivers as my coach, then damn it, Doc Rivers is going to be the coach. They don't care what James Harden and Daryl Morey want D'Antoni. If Joel Embiid say he want Doc, Doc is going to be there next year. But I will pause what?
Pause, Perk. And I'm asking you to pause, not because of an opinion. I'm not debating you at this moment. We're going to switch gears. I got a question. Who do you believe at this moment in time Joel Embiid would support? Doc Rivers or Daryl Morey?
Doc Rivers.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why.
I'm listening.
Doc Rivers and Joel relationship is like no other. Joel should win the MVP. Joel was able to be the best version of Joel Embiid under Doc Rivers. Mm-hmm. Who's to say Joel Embiid is going to be the best version of Joel Embiid under Mike D'Antoni? See, that's the thing that we all have to realize. So you bring in Mike D'Antoni, who is he going to cater to? Is he going to cater to James Harden?
He's going to be to James Harden, not to Joel Embiid, and that's a mistake. And that's a mistake.
And that's something that we all have to think about, because think about this. The Philadelphia 76ers, you know this, Stephen A., the fans in Philly, they're no fools. And so at the end of the day, they know what they have in Joel Embiid. Like I said, we're watching the James Harden that's on the decline. We're talking about a guy in Joel Embiid who was in the middle of his prime, start scratching the surface of starting his prime.
The one thing that I will say to end this segment, I get where you're coming from. I hope you're right. But I would say to you, you're kind of spoiled in this respect, Kendrick Perkins. Your teammate was Kevin Garnett. And when you talk about a warrior, a loyalist, that it's like his presence is so profound and so significant, when he speaks, you stand still. Because this brother mean business, okay? Kevin Garnett is one thing. Joel Embiid, even in his support of Doc Rivers, is another. If Joel Embiid had that kind of personality, I wouldn't be concerned at all.
Let me get in one more commercial break. 10 seconds. And even if Doc Rivers do lose this series and they decide to part ways, guess what? He'll just be the coach of the Lakers. Carry on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Before we leave, Big Perk, I want to give a shout out to you, my friend. Yesterday, you posted this. Me walking on this plane knowing that I don't have to ask for seatbelt connector more. Good morning, and carry the hell on. Everybody see the new slim down Perk. And let me just tell you this, Perk. Listen, as somebody that has to watch what I eat as well, I'm proud of you, and I feel for you, because I wasn't like Stephen A., the little skinny thing his whole life, you know? I get how you're putting in that hard work, and I see you, and I appreciate it.
Look, first of all, let me tell you something, Mr. T. Let me tell you something, Mr. T. I pity the fool that doubt that you're doing what you're doing, but I got to tell you, I don't see much of a difference, man. I just saw you last week. You're a big boy. I don't have a problem with you being big, but you look the same to me. I can see it in your face.
Appreciate it, because first of all, when you start to lose weight, I have whack body problems, big boy problems. You lose weight like this, and the last thing to shrink is your stomach. Yeah. But look, this same jacket about 2 weeks ago, I couldn't do this and button it up. But guess what? I can right now.
You couldn't button up your jacket?
I could button it up right now. And listen.
You look good.
Do you have more energy, Perk?
Look, but listen, Stephen A., I didn't say I lost 30 pounds. All I did was lose a solid 10. We're really 12. You know what I mean?
Great.
You got to understand, I was really.
So what were you doing? What'd you do to lose the pounds?
Hey, I went on it. Hey, you know what I'm saying? There's certain things that's going on that I might not want to share.
I can't hear the producer in my ear. What did he say? I can't hear it. I missed it.
I know what he was doing. I know what you were doing.
I only got one thing to say.
Hi, Mrs. Perkins.
I missed one fun moment in the show.
Hi, Mrs. Perkins.